Taylor McConnell runs Spore Shift, an organic mushroom farm in North Canterbury. He began the business back in 2018 with his partner Susan when they started supplying a variety of gourmet mushrooms to restaurants, markets and shops in the Canterbury region. They've slowly diversified, moving into selling mushroom spawn and seeds for keen home growers and more recently grow your own kits that are easy enough for children to get involved. The DIY kits are a huge asset as they can still be sold even during lockdown, a time which otherwise decimates their demand for mushroom supplying restaurants. Taylor McConnell, owner of Spore Shift, is with me now. Kia ora. Taylor, how are you?
Hello.
Let me take you back to 2018. What got you thinking that mushrooms were a good business?
Well, it wasn't exactly I just thought they were a good business. I always enjoyed growing things and I was sort of in between jobs and bought a mushroom kit and had a play with that and it was okay. It was a little bit difficult and then I learned how to do all the process myself and I started growing some mushrooms and started supplying restaurants and then it all just sort of snowballed from there and it just sort of a hobby got out of control and then it turned into a business.
Well, that's not a bad thing, is it? That's quite nice. Was there a steep learning curve learning how best to grow mushrooms?
Yeah, there was quite a lot. Spent a lot of time in forums and on YouTube. It's a lot better nowadays. There's a lot more content around sort of like what we're doing, producing a lot of blog and online content and people doing workshops. And a lot more access to kits and growing supplies in recent years. So it's definitely something that's getting a lot easier, but it was challenging in the early days.
What were, perhaps still are, the most popular mushroom varieties for the markets and the restaurants?
Yeah, so the oyster mushroom is pretty much the staple for most farms to grow. They're fast-growing, easy-to-grow mushroom with excellent flavour profile. And chefs are very familiar with them. So that's the main one that we produce. And then the next is the shiitake, so sort of a classic mushroom that everyone knows, good, strong, meaty, umami flavour compared to the oyster mushrooms, which are more of a lighter sort of bacony sort of flavour mushroom.
Did you spend a lot of time experimenting both with the material in which they grew and the conditions?
Yeah, 100%. There's a lot of learning there and just trying to utilise materials that are close by. So oyster mushrooms, for example, they're not growing on manure like your button mushrooms, so they're a primary decomposer. So they're growing on, you can use straw or wood chip or any cellulose base. So we used a lot of straw, which is a byproduct of grain production. So that was quite cool, utilizing some waste materials, and that's what we produced on for a long time. And now we're starting to use some pine from waste sawmills and doing a sawdust method.
Oh, so that's a good use of waste materials. Perfect.
Yeah, so most of your mushroom stuff, you're trying to utilise waste materials and add value to the product. That's the whole goal of the mushroom growing process, really. Yeah, the mushrooms are the base recyclers of everything, so you just use that to your advantage.
You've moved into making DIY kits for people to grow mushrooms at home, and there's a few out there now. I saw a lot of advertising for them during lockdown, but I think you were working on these even before lockdown?
Yeah, so we first started making the kits, which was basically when we were making our big commercial bags for growing the oyster mushrooms. We would just make smaller bags and we would sell them ready to fruit, and we started doing that just at local farmers markets, and then over time, you know, I got good feedback from them. People really enjoyed them, had good success, so we started doing more of that. And then when the first lockdown happened, or just before it, I was watching COVID for a while before that and sort of figured it was going to come. So we got the website built, and that's where I made a lot of the other kits, which were all modeled around basically a simplified version of how we commercially grow. So the goal was to make a product that anyone that knew nothing about mushrooms would be able to get it, and they could just do it at home without any specialised equipment.
As it happens, and I didn't know I was doing this interview at the time, I bought a couple because I'd like to experiment over lockdown, and I've put them in different parts of the property, one in a shed and one indoors, just to monitor how well they did. And it was quite different, even hydrating them both at the same time with the same amount of water. I sound like a mad scientist, don't I? But it was really interesting just to see where they best flourish. And perhaps for me, it was a bit of a surprise where mine started to flourish more.
Yeah, for sure. Fruiting conditions can vary a lot for growing mushrooms. It can be funny, even at the farm, we can play God as much as we want in the fruiting room and try and grow the best mushrooms. But sometimes you put them outside and, Mother Nature will grow you better mushrooms.
Hydration is crucial though, isn't it? Even more than, I imagine that actually light, I was trying to find dark spaces, but reading the information, it's actually more hydration and air, fresh air.
Yeah, so that would be the most common misconception with all the gourmet mushrooms that we mainly focus on. So most people, they know your button mushroom and they know of them growing in the dark in a cold place. Whereas pretty much all other mushrooms require light to guide them in their direction to grow, and then good humidity. And oyster mushrooms especially like lots of fresh air. They don't like elevated carbon dioxide levels, which is what mushrooms produce when they're growing.
How many harvests can you expect from a kit? Let's concentrate on oyster mushrooms.
Yeah, so oyster mushrooms on a kit, typically you get anywhere from 2 up to 6. Your first 2 will be by far the largest. And then the harvests get progressively smaller as the kit uses up the nutrients and the water that's held within it. So when you make your kits up, they're about 60 to 70% water content, and over the life of the mushroom, it'll draw the water out as it grows. So you don't necessarily water mushrooms like a plant. All the water is held in the sort of substrate when it's made, and as that water gets sucked out, you lose your yield.
In between the harvests, as you say, between 2 and 5, it can go dormant. So what should you just keep watering it, or what's the best advice in between? Don't give up hope that there might be another harvest.
The mushrooms, they'll teach you some good patience. So your first harvest normally comes 20 to 40 days after you mix it up. And then once the mushrooms start growing, they double in size every 24 hours roughly, so they grow extremely quickly. And then you harvest that bunch, and then the kit will sit dormant. It will look like it's doing nothing, but during that time, it's gathering up fresh nutrients to produce another flush or another harvest. So that period can be anywhere from 5 days to 3 weeks. And during that time, you just use a little misting bottle and just keep the holes in the bag or the bucket damp, and that wetting of the holes basically simulates or copies rainfall in nature and helps to encourage the mushrooms to grow again.
A colleague was saying that I think her parents had a kit, and then they gave up hope and they threw it in the compost, and it's doing really well. they're fruiting again.
That's really common. Generally, when people give up on them and they put them outside, that'll make them fruit. So sometimes what actually happens is it's that some people have them inside, especially in summer when it's quite warm, it's too hot in the house, and they put them outside, and that temperature change actually tricks the mushroom into thinking like, oh, autumn's coming, it's time to fruit. And that temperature change when they give up and throw it out triggers the fruiting. Yeah.
Been concentrating on oyster mushrooms. Of course, I have a vested interest in that. So let's talk about the shiitake kits and the shiitake mushrooms. Are they, I don't know, more temperamental?
Not so much more temperamental, just in terms of actually making the shiitake block that's ready to fruit requires a lot more specialised equipment. So what we do is we make the block, incubate it at the farm for 2 months, very long incubation period, and then we send them out ready to fruit. So as soon as you get it, it'll produce the mushrooms right away. But for most people, I try and tell people the best way to grow shiitakes is in your garden on logs. So you get a fresh log off a living tree. And one of our products is furniture dowels that are inoculated with the mushroom culture. And you put these furniture dowels into the log, and that will introduce the spore or the mycelium into the log. And then you have a log that will produce shiitakes for sometimes up to 5 years in your garden. So that's how we try and encourage people to grow the shiitakes.
Taylor, what's the second lockdown been like for your business?
Yeah, so this lockdown, we were quite lucky, actually. We had all the website, everything up and running. My partner and I live at the farm, and it's just us two, and we can courier all of our products. So we worked through the lockdown, and we were quite busy. A lot of, you know, people were at home with not much to do, and growing mushrooms out of kits is obviously something anyone can do. Even if you're in an apartment, you can do these kits. And there seems to be a solid movement going on with people, you know, a rise in interest of people wanting to grow their own food, and especially health-related foods, which is really cool to see. So we've definitely had a lot of interest in people wanting information on how to incorporate mushrooms into their garden. And yeah, so we're starting to do a lot of work with that and making content to teach people how to do that, because the mushrooms are fantastic for your soil. And basically 90% of plants on earth require a relationship with a mushroom to survive. So putting mushrooms into your garden, it really changes your production and how everything goes in the garden. It's really quite incredible.
You were planning, of course, for production without knowing the second lockdown would happen, or this latest lockdown. So did you have mushrooms that you weren't able to sell?
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing. So the farm runs in a 2 month cycle, basically. So whatever I've got to be harvesting as planned, and a lot of the work is done 2 months prior. So and supplying restaurants, obviously the restaurants closed. So yeah, unfortunately during that time there was quite a lot of waste mushrooms that we didn't have a lot of use for. We can dry, you know, you can dry some, and gave a lot away to the neighbors and stuff like that. But yeah, unfortunately there was a bit of waste there. You can't get rid of all of it.
I'd have to say that one of the prettiest mushrooms are the pink oyster mushroom. They are gorgeous to look at. I imagine that is the taste the same as the grey oyster?
Yeah, they're everyone's favourite, the pink oyster. Yeah, they're very similar flavour between the grey and the pink oyster. The pink oyster it's a bit of a different texture. It's sort of more, you can get it more crispy. Yeah, it's just more of a different texture. It's sort of hard to explain. But for most people, pretty similar.
The native lion's mane oyster, you've grown that one?
Yeah, so we do actually
mushroom,
grow,
I keep saying oysters, sorry. The native lion's mane mushroom, there we go.
Yeah, so we have quite a few native New Zealand mushrooms that we do, and probably the most special one is the native lion's mane, Hericium nova zealandia, which is a native family of the famous lion's mane, which is very good for cognitive function, memory, nerve regrowth, and all of that. And there's one study out. I think it's got some of the same properties in it. I personally take it as a dried supplement, and I find it fantastic. Very good for sleeping as well, I find. And that's an absolutely beautiful mushroom. So we're slowly trying to work, but quite difficult to grow. So we're slowly trying to work on a kit or a way for people to do that. But there's certainly a lot of interest around that mushroom.
Last question for you from a listener, really enjoying the conversation, asking how you stop rats eating the mushrooms that are growing outside.
Oh, I haven't had any problems with rats. Normally slugs. Slugs are normally the worst with the logs. Your rats, you might need to just chuck some traps out. But if it's not rats, and it's quite often slugs, what you can do is, like, if you're growing on logs, you can just put a ring of salt around the bottom of it, and the slugs won't cross the salt. That's one way to do it. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Talking to Taylor McConnell, who runs Spore Shift, an organic mushroom farm in North Canterbury.